Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Michael Salzman's here, too, ladies and gentlemen. Michael is a research fellow for the Employment Policy Institute. He's a member of our Brain Trust. He's been with us many times before, and he's here to talk to us about some of the policies that we already have and what they have wrought and what some of the new policies that are being proposed might do to you and me as small business owners. Michael Salzman, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you back, as always, Mike. Okay, let's talk about the current employment situation, or I should say unemployment. U3 is the one that gets used the most. It's the one that most people really kind of hang their hat on. I've reported on it over the years. The U3 is the statistic, folks, that counts the household, I guess it is, Michael, help correct me if I'm wrong, household unemployment, and it's the one that just went up from 8.1 to 8.2. But U3, as handy as it may be, does not depict the true unemployment situation, does it?
No, that's right. So U3 sort of gives you the standard number of people who are unemployed. So unemployed would be people who are actively looking for work and can't find it. But there are some other measures out there, too. It goes all the way up to U4, U5, and U6.
Right.
And that U6 measure, they include people who are maybe employed part-time for economic reasons.
Underemployed.
Underemployed, you're right, discouraged workers. And so that figure actually kicked up from 14.5% to 14.8%.
And that gets the number up to 22, 23 million Americans, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it suggests that the situation's quite a bit more dire than sort of the widely reported unemployment rate suggests.
And if I'm not mistaken, Michael, even that number doesn't include the record number of people who have successfully converted from unemployment to Social Security disability.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things that wouldn't be necessarily accounted here. I mean, you can also talk about the longer folks are out of the labor force, if they've just dropped out entirely. These are a lot of people who it's more difficult to sort of, keep track of. If they've just, let's say they stopped looking for work for maybe the last year, these are folks who may not show up in the official unemployment statistics.
Let me tell you who those people are, Michael. Those are people who are trying to start a business. Whether they're successful or not, they're currently way, way, way underutilized, underproductive, and from an income standpoint for their families. But yet they're off though either of those roles, and because they're trying to start a business. I mean, that's another category of folks who are hurting right now, but do not show up in U3 or U6.
Yeah.
I think.
I think you're right. I guess the overall point is it suggests. I mean, I know, sort of looking at the reports that came out on Friday. You know, people were talking about the economy is still facing some strong headwinds. That may be true, but I do think it suggests that the environment, the job creation environment, maybe hasn't been as friendly as people in Washington like to say it's been.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is that these numbers are the broad numbers. If you drill down into the verticals, meaning young people, minorities, women, etc., the numbers actually get worse, don't they?
Yeah, that's right. So, one of the numbers that we track on a pretty regular basis is the teen employment figure. And so the teen employment figure was 24.6% in May, which was a slight drop from 24.9%, but still sort of, if you look at this, it's been over 20% now for going on 43, 44 months. So it's pretty high number, and it's been going on long enough that I think you've sort of had a generation of young people who have missed out on the same sort of formative experiences that a lot of us were able to enjoy.
Exactly. So how much of that are you attributing to the economy, and how much of you are you attributing to them being priced out of the market by the arbitrary federal minimum wage?
You know, there's a couple of economists that have looked at it. You know, there was one study that came out, I guess, a year or two ago now, that put the number of teens that were unemployed because of the minimum wage at, I think it was 114,000, 115,000. Some other economists have taken a look at it and put the number a lot higher. You know, I think we're going to find out sort of when we revisit this subject and sort of see if there's been any lagged effects, what the true impact has been. You know, the economy is going to be sort of, it's going to have a large sort of, you know, impact, and it's going to be largely responsible for that rate. But when you raise by 40% the cost to hire them during the midst of a recession, there's going to be some unintended consequences. And I think there are, I think it's accurate to say there are, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not tens of thousands of teens out there today that don't have a job specifically because of the higher minimum wage.
Right. Well, and you know, in the old days, maybe as recent as 10, 15 years ago even, if you raise minimum wage, even grocery baggers and people who, you know, work for minimum wage jobs, companies had to bite the bullet and hire those people because they didn't have any options. But technology gives people options today, doesn't it? And so, that's contributing. Being able to put in kiosks, for example, or getting people to bag their own groceries, that's holding their costs down, and it's because of the government practices of raising minimum wage is actually hurting the people that they claim to want to help.
You know, I think even for some reason in Washington now we've lost sight of that sort of cause and effect relationship. You talk about sort of the automation and some sort of how employers are reacting to higher labor costs. You know, even when the minimum wage was first created in 1938, you know, there was a report given to Congress a year later where the administrator at the Labor Department actually noted that it would be possible to set the minimum wage too high and price in people out of work. Now, this was under Franklin Roosevelt that people were willing to, able to understand this.
Right.
So it's surprising that we've sort of lost that connection.
Well, you know, Michael, I'm a silly boy. You know, if the government, if Washington ever had that, it was a fleeting notion. I think you're giving them too much credit. The concept of cause and effect or anything that they do is completely lost on them. Everything that they look at is a monofaceted. What they see is what they think is they're going to impact. They have no concept of what's beyond that first thing that they see. And that's one of the reasons why we have these rules. When we come back, folks, guess what? There are people trying to raise minimum wage again and other things that go bump in the night that frighten you and me and hurt us in our business. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.